Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Mike Snyder Sports coming up, 5:12. This is Bill Wills. Big thanks to you if you stop by Executive Caters Landerhaven, one of the largest blood drives we have had in our 22 years in giving from the heart. So that day yesterday, Scott Scudery's producer extraordinaire alongside. I've rolled up my sleeve. I'm laying there giving blood, right?
Correct.
Guy walks by. You Bill? I go, yeah. He's, tell Scooter I said hi. Okay, fine. John. Works the Red Cross.
Awesome.
Listens every morning, starts his morning about now, loves your trivia.
Thank you.
But he said, tell you hi.
I kind of grow on people,
so
don't I?
So only in my world, I'm laying there giving blood while you're home probably taking a nap or something, and he tells me to tell you hi.
I kind of grow on you, don't I?
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Feeling the burn last night, right?
We sure got burned, didn't
Bernie
we?
Bernie Sanders finally with a win.
The reason that we won tonight in New Hampshire, we won last week in Iowa, it's because of the hard work of so many volunteers. And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Bernie, baby. Bernie, feel the burn.
With victories behind us, popular vote in Iowa and the victory here tonight.
Iowa?
We're going to Nevada.
Nevada?
We're going to South Carolina.
South Carolina?
We're going to win those states as well.
Yeah! Like Howard Dean. Yeah! That's the name of the law. Joe's already in South Carolina.
Yeah, Biden he left.
He went to early last night.
He took off.
He's already checked into the Holiday Inn in Columbia. It's going to start there for him. You can see more of the burn. Plus, the Supreme Court and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. This could be a fatal blow to the ERA. Check this out.
Well, I would like to see a new beginning. I'd like it to start over. There's too much controversy about latecomers, Virginia, long after the deadline passed. Plus, a number of states have withdrawn their ratification. So, if you count a latecomer on the plus side, how can you disregard states that said, we've changed our minds?
3/4 of the states, or 38, required to amend the Constitution. Last month, Virginia became the 38th to ratify the ERA, and one of only 3 states to do so since 1977.
Yes.
So she's saying that it's been so long that they ought to start over,
right,
and rewrite the thing.
Right.
And that's from Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And in the article, it also
that's
states it states that it's tough to imagine that the 5 members of the Supreme Court would agree without Ginsburg's vote would agree that the ERA was properly ratified.
Interesting. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Check it out.
You
hi,
got
Scooter.
Hope you hello, Bill.
John,
hope you have a great day,
John
too.
Said, hey,
John's a good man.
Only in my world. I'm laying there giving blood, right? Hey, tell Scooter I said hi. Yeah, no problem.
No problem. And squeeze that ball.
Squeeze that ball. I went fast yesterday.
Did you?
It was like 8 minutes.
They got in there. Good.
Tell Scooter I said hi.
Your blood was boiling when he said that, right? Is that what was happening?
I didn't take it that way.
Tell Scooter.
Like, yeah, thank you for being here, but tell Scooter I said hi.
Anyway, his heart rate went up. He's like,
I can't get away from this guy. I'm going to bleed 2 pints while I'm here. But thank you if you stopped by yesterday. Just keep drinking that water and doubling up this morning.
Yep.
But thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right, coming up in 5, President Trump and foreign policy. We'll kick around a couple of stories with Bill Zimfer and Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com, the coronavirus effect on your 401k. Sports, 15 and 45 pass. Good morning, Mike Snyder.
Good morning, Bill. Cavaliers play their final game before the All-Star break when they host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. The Hawks are the last team the Cavaliers defeated at home. You got to go all the way back to December 23rd when that occurred. So they've yet to win a home game here in 2020. Now, the team got some good news yesterday when Colin Sexton was added to the Rising Stars roster. for this weekend's All-Star game on Friday night. That game will be played. It's a U.S. team against a international team. Collins said he knew something was up yesterday when GM Kobe Altman approached him.
I knew of something when he came up to me. He was smiling. And I'm like, you don't smile this much. What's going on? But then he told me, and he was like, it's really good, and it'll be good for our organization to have someone there to represent. So it's good.
Well, one thing about Colin Sexton, he plays hard every night. He's averaging just under 20 points a game, and he seems to be growing with his court awareness. Congratulations to him. So the Cavs will be represented in Chicago over the All-Star weekend. Now, the Cavs and Hawks have a 7 o'clock tip tonight, and, of course, you can hear it right here. Of note, last night in the NBA, Zion Williamson with 31 points as the Pelicans beat the Blazers. In college basketball, big win for Akron in the MAC as the Zips knock off Bowling Green by a score of 74-59. Indians pitchers and catchers have gathered in Goodyear. Now, their first official on-the-field workout will be tomorrow. Position players will arrive over the weekend with that first full squad workout next Monday. And for the first time since 2011, Jason Kipnis will not be among those reporting here, but Kip has found a new home. He's going to his hometown team. Kipnis has agreed to a million-dollar deal with plenty of incentives if he makes the Chicago Cubs roster. So good luck to Kip. He was a grinder while he was here, and maybe we'll see him in the Cactus League play this year against the Tribe. Also today, congratulations to Cleveland Heights native and former Browns defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. Now, Mel has been the head coach at Colorado for the last year, was already starting to turn that program around, but he's expected to be named the new head coach at Michigan State. He initially declined their offer as they had reached out to him, but evidently Michigan State sweetened things up, and Tucker will accept that job, according to reports. Good luck to Mel. Heck of a coach. Did a nice job while he was here, too. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder.
International front this morning. Couple of things in the Zimfer file. Before we get to space tag, talk to me about North Korea. Haven't heard much on that front lately.
No, we haven't. It's been very quiet in North Korea, and apparently President Trump has kind of had it with what's going on in North Korea. There are new reports out, Bill, that say the president has told his advisors he has no desire to have another meeting with Kim Jong-un, at least before the November election, and there had been no prospects for that anyway. But it's quite a change, of course. The two had sent letters back and forth, and even about a month ago, the president had told advisors to begin working on the possibility of a new meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un to try to advance denuclearization of the peninsula. But now, one administration official is reported to have said that any efforts on denuclearization are now dead. The president did send Kim Jong-un a birthday card last month, but that was met with kind of a shrug of the shoulders in North Korea. It appears that this relationship is on the rocks, Bill.
All right, let's talk about us and Russia and space. Fair to say we may have a little space tag going on with satellites?
Interesting scenario going on in space, and this was first revealed by an everyday citizen who just happened to be a space enthusiast who liked to keep track of what was going on with satellites. He said that don't look now, but there is a Russian spy satellite, or a Russian inspection satellite, we should say, that seems to be stalking a United States spy satellite. And as a matter of fact, confirmation now that there are two Soviet craft in space that have kind of synchronized orbits with a United States spy satellite, which is very unusual, and they have gotten within 100 miles of the U.S. satellite. The leader of our space command, General Jay Raymond, has said in any other domain, this might be seen as a provocative move. But, Bill, could this all be coincidence? It also comes at a time when President Trump is asking for over $15 billion for his space force.
Interesting. It was found out by a civilian just watching the sky. All right, good stuff. Bill Zimfer in the Zimfer File this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Give me a minute. We'll talk about the coronavirus effect on your...
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
The coronavirus, a big concern, of course. It has spread and the death toll, but also the effect on the economy, world economy. Jordan Goodman watching this for us at MoneyAnswers.com. It's a big story, Jordan.
Really is. I mean, we have over 1,000 deaths now, most of them in China, over 40,000 cases, and it's still growing a lot, although the pace of growth seems to be slowing a bit, and that's what Wall Street is encouraged by. When it first came out, stock market dropped sharply, like, wow, how, is this going to be the Black Plague or something? And now it's growing, but it seems at a slower pace, and therefore there's some hope that they'll be able to get this thing under control.
It's interesting on how this story has affected industries and prices of things. I mean, commodities, oil, right. People looking at travel, and how will it affect the business cycle?
So oil is down to about $49 a barrel. It had been about 55 as we began the year. Interest rates, like the 10-year Treasury, started the year at about 1.9. Now it's about 1.5. That's the feeling that this is going to slow down world economic growth. And you're right. I mean, airlines have canceled flights to China. The casinos are closed. The supply chain is very much disrupted with these factories closed in China. So we don't know how long this is going to take, but it's clearly making a major hit to the U.S. economic, the worldwide economic growth as well.
MoneyAnswers.com, so many topics to help when it comes to saving money and investing and all. And just on the investing, I know you talk to a lot of people. I guess if you're comfortable with your plan, you could withstand something like the news of Corona.
Correct. You don't want to get shaken out of it. I mean, the similar example we had was in 2002, SARS. But that killed fewer people we've already had die here in this case. So it takes a hit, but eventually these things go away. So you don't want to be shaken out of your plan just because of something like this, even though it could be major. And certainly China's had a major, major hit. It really looks bad for them politically that they didn't tell people about this earlier. The doctor who warned them, they chastised them, then he died. That doesn't look good. You want to find out about public health emergencies right away.
MoneyAnswers.com. By the way, quick mention, I saw a great link to a site on credit cards and finding the best card you put up there for us, too.
Right. So that's myguidetocreditcards.com. There's some great cards out there. You have to go get them. And I get a lot of emails from your listeners. They want better credit cards than they've got today. The numbers just came out. Record amount of credit card spending in December. It was about $22 billion in new spending on credit cards in December.
Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com, great site to use, check out, and he always follows up. If you got a question, you can send him an email, too, that way. Jordan, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have you decided that a middle-class mayor and a veteran from the industrial Midwest was the right choice to take on this president, not in spite of that experience, but because of it?
We have beaten the odds every step of the way.
The fight to save our democracy is an uphill battle.
Now, where I come from, that's the opening bell. Not the closing bell. And the fight to end Donald Trump's presidency is just beginning. Just beginning.
I think you can pick out all the players. Let's sort through some spin. Oh, by the way, Bloomberg's out there. Michael Bauer's in this morning. I guess no surprise Bernie won. Would the surprise be the, what is this, Clomentum I read about last night, Amy Klobuchar?
The club charge, as the case may be, the clobbering or clobbering, as they're calling it. Yeah, she picked up, I think you saw mainly the way it broke down last night, Bernie Sanders winning, not performing as well as he did in 2016, but
right.
You had Pete Buttigieg and you had Amy Klobuchar kind of taking that moderate vote, the more what you would call classic Democratic vote, certainly away from Joe Biden, and splitting those vote between the two of them. So that's why you saw Buttigieg fall into second place and Klobuchar in third place here. The number one walking away point that you get at the exit polls that seemed to be the overwhelming portion for voters was they were concerned about beating Donald Trump in a 2-1 margin. Who was it that was going to be able to beat Donald Trump? They were less concerned about people who were on the same page as they were as far as what their candidates' political beliefs were. They just wanted somebody that was going to beat Trump. What that clearly indicates is, for the most of the folks there in New Hampshire, that's not Joe Biden. It's also not Elizabeth Warren. Neither one of those faring well. Elizabeth Warren coming in fourth place, Joe Biden coming in fifth place, and that's not good for either one of them. They are both looking towards South Carolina and then into Super Tuesday. Tuesday is a possibility to win things back for them. But I would think that right off the bat, if neither of them do very well in Nevada here first, it's going to be far more difficult to get continued support on a financial level from donors after this bad showing in New Hampshire.
Well, you're right about issues. It's Trump, 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 as far as Democrats are concerned last night. Hey, watching election coverage and flipping around, boy, Bloomberg, every time they took a break, Bloomberg's commercial would show up, you know?
Spending a fortune there. I mean, he is spending a lot of money on television right now, and with that, it's seemingly on some level starting to pay off, right? I mean, you're starting to see the name recognition there. He had three write-in votes, two of them on the Democratic side, one on the Republican side yesterday, just in the early voting alone. He's spending more on TV and online advertising than any candidate in U.S. political history, having already dropped about $350 million of his personal fortune, more than the entire budget of the Trump campaign in 2016. So it is bearing bearing some fruit. He's moving up in the national polls. He's right behind Sanders and Biden. Another survey has him beating Trump by 9 points at a wider margin than any of his Democratic rivals. So we still yet to see how that's going to play out. And you won't actually hear from Bloomberg himself, which could actually be a downfall. He's not the most charismatic individual out there. So when you actually get a chance to see him in person or perhaps on a debate stage, you might be a little less than impressed by the time you get to Super Tuesday.
Michael Bauer on New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina here in a couple of weeks. Michael, thanks much.
Have a great day.
Let's talk some travel. Han McDermott checks in at faircompare.com. Well, a while back, Phil didn't see a shadow. Spring's right around the corner. Warmer weather. Here we go. Summertime, huh?
Yes. Spring break is a good thing right now, certainly to think about, and you should start booking. Fares are not going to get any cheaper. In fact, they're going to rise dramatically within the week of your departure, like any last-minute flight. So shop now.
I've got a trip spring training here in a bit. I had to change flight coming back, and boy, it was costly. It's a reminder. This is prime time when it comes to travel. You get to spring break time, right?
And be sure of your dates. You're absolutely right, because those change fees can be murder. But here's a tip that'll help. An expensive itinerary is to fly Fridays and Sundays. A lot of people like to get the most out of their spring break. They fly the Friday of that first weekend and come home Sunday of the second weekend. That's a 10-day trip, and wonderful if you can do it. But, for example, if you're flying Cleveland to Fort Lauderdale, which is at the end of this month, and you do the long trip Friday to Sunday, you're going to pay $205. Not bad.
No.
But if you do Tuesday to Saturday, that's a 5-day trip. Instead of $205, you're going to pay $89. These are nonstop flights, both of them. So, you know, the savings are real if you can fly cheaper days, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday.
Faircompare.com, you can compare a lot of different flights. But as you say, if the more flexibility you have day-wise, the better chance you have at a better bad deal.
That is absolutely true. And another way to save money is by flying to cheaper destinations. Now, if you have a must-see place that you've always wanted to go, do it. You know, life is short.
Sure.
Go see what you want to see. But if you just want to get away, get out of the cold and stuff, you know, there are cheap places. Southern Florida, as we just mentioned, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
Miami is also cheap. Fort Myers is cheap. So if you want a beach in Florida, there's great options. If you want a big city, Boston's real cheap. So is New York and Los Angeles, lesser so. But for skiing, go to Boston and then just, you know, get your way. You're in New England. Plenty of mountains there. Denver is very cheap. If you want a big trip, if you want Europe, London, Paris, Madrid, Barcelona, those are deals right now.
Good time to check those throughout the summer as far as Europe. I mean, if you're looking at that, you really should be doing some research on pricing.
You're going to be surprised. If you want to go this summer, I suggest by early June or starting in late August. That's when the deals kick in. Otherwise, it gets pretty expensive, like most prime summer.
Well, whenever I'm out and about, people always run into somebody who's going to Europe who says, hey, the next time you have Ann or Rick on from Fair Compare, ask about Europe. So want to make sure I ask, okay?
Yeah, it's a deal.
Ann McDermott, faircompare.com, the site. Check it out. Good enough. Ann, thanks much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
5:58, your chance to win a pair of tickets for the Rolling Stones coming up at 6:10. Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. At our house, we have a couple of lists. I move things around once in a while. We'll get that at the grocery this week. We'll get that at Mark's, or we'll grab that at Heinen's, or that's a Sam's Club or a Costco item. Well, I may move some things on that list after seeing this report. John Matarese over News 5 joins me on trying to find where the best place to buy some things are, and really you want to ask the question. The cheaper price, Sam's Club, Costco, Target, there's so many places to shop out there. Hi, John.
Yeah, there are, Bill, and a lot of us don't join warehouse clubs because we feel they're so 1990s.
Yeah.
We say, I've got Amazon now. If I want diapers,
right,
I'll order them. order them on Amazon, and I'll get everything else at the supermarket. But a report came out. We had a report, and this was based on a study by this website, the Crazy Coupon Lady, that analyzed all these different items. And they found that there are actually still a large number of items that are cheaper at warehouse clubs like Sam's, Costco, and BJ's that are still cheaper than you'll find in the grocery, even cheaper than Walmart. And I was amazed by that. And baby items. If you have a baby, diapers, baby wipes, formula, cheaper at the warehouse stores. There's no doubt about it, because supermarket prices on those are high.
Oh, yeah.
Also, things like maple syrup. That's expensive in the grocery store for a little bottle. Much cheaper in the warehouse clubs. Peanut butter, Nutella. I got Nutella in the grocery store. It's like $6 for a little thing. That's crazy.
You like Nutella?
I enjoy it.
Yeah, Mindy likes. Yeah, Mindy likes Nutella.
Yeah, I have kids, and they eat that $6 thing in about one day. pet food, kitty litter. That's cheaper at a warehouse store. Also, rotisserie chicken. You know those pre-cooked. You just take them home.
Yeah, take them home.
They're usually around $7 to $10 in the supermarket or Whole Foods or something, and $4.99 at most warehouse stores. So that's a real good deal. The rotisserie chicken, and a lot of people don't think of going to a warehouse store for this, but eyeglasses. Eyeglasses. You go into a Sam's Club, they have that eyeglass department.
Right.
Really good prices on glasses and tires, where you can get Michelins, Bridgestones for a lot cheaper than many other places. So even though it seems like a warehouse club is so 1990s, again, with Amazon out there, if you have one near you, consider joining, because you can really save a bundle.
Good point. Depending on the level of membership, 60, 70, 80 bucks, whatever it might be. But you're right, as far as seeing the items, interesting way to shop and the comparisons when it comes to the competition with Amazon. Good story. John Matarese on it from over at News 5. Thanks, John.
Great.
Good morning. Holly is in front. You've got the easiest job in the world. You unlock the door, and the kids come in and have fun. And they jump around at the air trampoline park. And iHeart Deal of the Week, you can go to WTAM.com, keyword deals, got a great opportunity for you there in Middleburg Heights. I told you, yesterday my daughter and I were just around the corner at Wafu, had a little lunch. I should have come in, I could have worked off some energy.
Could have jumped,
I'm a little big, right? A little too old?
No, not too big.
You don't think
Never too big.
Never too big to have
Any
fun?
Any size can jump.
3 years you guys have been in business?
Yep,
I think. Congratulations.
3 years now. Thank you.
For someone that hasn't been to Air Trampoline Park, let's take them there. You took a building and remodeled the inside and just put so many things in there to have fun, right?
Yeah. Okay. We have dodgeball, tons of trampolines, 3 foam pits. We have a toddler area for kids to jump. It has a smaller ninja course in it, which is really cool for them. We just got bazooka ball, which is totally fun.
Okay, is bazooka ball what it sounds like?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sort of.
Sort of, okay.
So basically it's paintball, but with barrels at the end of it that shoots out foam balls. And you wear vests, and you have to hit each other in the vests, and there's a scoreboard. It's a lot of fun.
And you hit somebody in the vest, and then you keep scoring that way.
And it keeps the score on the board.
Really?
Yeah.
Like bowling now.
Sort of,
the ball. Everybody's keeping
score. It's a lot of fun.
Top golf or anything else you're doing nowadays. That's not working.
What'd you show me?
The name.
Yeah, it's Get Air.
Oh, this says Get Air. Yeah, trampoline park. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, this is radio. Tony comes over and hands me his phone like I'm supposed to be looking at something. All right. So we've got the iHeart deal, WTAM.com, keyword deal. So everything you thought when you were a kid you'd love to do, you now provide for kids.
Yes.
Okay? That, bottom line?
We didn't have trampolines. We had the outside trampolines, which I feel like we're way more safe than an outside trampoline.
Right. And just have fun for the kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hours, when you guys normally open?
11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Until 9 p.m.
Yeah. And then Fridays and Saturdays till 11 p.m.
A little adjustment on the weekend then.
Yeah.
All right. Middleburg Heights, easy to find. Right there at 7204 Pearl Road, Middleburg Heights, Get Air. The iHeart deal at WTAM.com for just $25. You get a $50 gift certificate for just $25. You can use that, come in, we send it to you, and you just have fun. And especially this time of the year with so much indoor, you want to have fun with the kids, right?
Yeah, keep them busy.
Have fun.
Tire them out.
Have fun, make a memory, get them tired.
Oh, yeah.
Go over to Wafu, have some dinner, then head home.
Yep.
Right? Fun place? All right. Holly, good seeing you. Thanks much.
Nice seeing you, too.
WTAM.com, keyword deals, Get Air, Trampoline Park, score a $50 gift certificate for just $25. Anything else you want to mention while I got you in here?
We do have toddler time on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Tomorrow, I have a special one for Valentine's Day. We're going to have a little photo set up for the kiddos to take photos with little props. And we have some refreshments and snacks.
Well, that's cool.
And then we have Club Air Friday and Saturday nights. And we have a Saturday night DJ, too, from 8 to 11 p.m.
What's Club Air?
It's teen night for teens.
Okay.
I mean, we do the toddlers and the littler kids still can stay because we do have the smaller area. But we have the DJ Saturday nights, and he's a blast. So they have so much fun.
Some more fun for the teens. And that's a great idea. You've really evolved families thinking about fun for the kids.
Oh, yeah. 3 years now. Good stuff. Keep them busy.
Get Air, Trampoline Park, WTAM.com, keyword deals. Get the $50 gift certificate for just $25. Great place to have fun. 7204 Pearl Road, Middleburg Heights. Thanks much. Good seeing you. There's something on Stars I thought you might like. It's called Wrong Man. If you like stories about the law, about people who have been confined over the years that should not have been. It has been the passion of this guy for a long time. Defense attorney Ron Kuby, kind enough to join me. He's got ties to Cleveland. His law office devoted to opposing the federal and state government as they come up with creative new ways to disproportionately punish people living outside the law. That's just a part of the passion you have. Ron, good morning. I appreciate your time.
Good morning, Bill, and good morning, Cleveland. I always wanted to say that. My whole life.
You just did. You were born here, right?
I was. I was born there. I grew up there. I left in the 70s, mm-hmm. but I grew up in East Cleveland, Cleveland Heights area, centered around Coventry Road back when that was a thing.
Beautiful. Now, I want to ask you something. At what point in your life, were you a kid, you saw somebody wronged in study hall or what? At what point did you want to get into practicing law?
I think it was right around the time when I was graduating from college and I was in a demonstration and police broke my arm.
Well,
that could have been it. There were other things, too.
See?
I mean,
that would be a good. But, you know, an attorney normally doesn't ask a question you don't know the answer to, and I didn't know the answer. That's why I wanted to ask you. At what point you thought, I want to get into practicing law? And that would be a good reason to do it.
That would be. That was excellent, and that was, you know, one of the motivating factors. And, of course, I had the opportunity as a young man to work with the great civil rights criminal defense lawyer, William Kunstler, of Chicago 8 fame, and that was an amazing apprenticeship. And I've been doing actual innocence work for decades now. Actual innocence means actually factually innocent, like wrong man, wrong human, wasn't there, didn't do it.
Wrong Man is what's on Stars Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Set your DVR, catch it live if you wish. Tell me about the show.
So it was launched by the director producer Joe Berlinger, who took about 20 years to free three innocent men in West Memphis, Tennessee, in a particularly awful case. And Joe decided that if he could get this process done faster. Through film. 20 years is a long time. So he and Starz teamed up, and what they've done is we examine three old cases where people have steadfastly maintained their innocence, all homicides, and basically form a team that reinvestigates the cases. We do the archaeology of the cases, and it's filmed in real time. We don't know the ending. Until it ends.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of twists and turns. For true crime buffs, it's a little different from the usual genre where at the end you know the results. I think in all of these cases that we're examining in season two, people will continue to debate it and discuss it. We have had some real effects in the real world, though, which is what makes me so happy as a lawyer. Last season, we gathered enough evidence for one young man where he has lawyers who filed a motion for a new trial. One of the people whose cases we were working on was actually exonerated in the course of the show, which came as a surprise to us. And the third one was taken off death row, not primarily due to us, but we contributed to his defense. So, you know, it's a combination of both worlds. We get to do film, which is fun. I get to do lawyering. Mm-hmm. And best of all, I don't have any responsibility. Nobody dies or goes to prison at the end, which is not like my usual law practice.
Wrong Man, Sunday night, 9 o'clock Stars. I got about a minute left here. Until I served on a jury, I'm in the media, so we're talking about cases all the time. But when you serve on a jury and you see for yourself up front that you have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, it gives you, I think, a whole greater respect for this fragile thing we call the law in this country.
Well, it does, hopefully, and it should. The problem becomes not so much with the jurors, but with the investigation, the tunnel vision that police and prosecutors frequently bring to a case where they focus on the suspect to the exclusion of everything else, and the fact that almost by definition, homicides, murders take place, and the community is justifiably outraged. There's a lot of passion, there's a lot of fury, there's a lot of determination to get the job done, and people don't make the best decisions under those circumstances.
And then you have high-profile cases. I know you're not involved, but the Jesse Smollett case, it's back in the news. A grand jury's looked at it. He's now been, you know, got to face an indictment because of reporting what he did in Chicago, and there's a whole PR issue for the city of Chicago and the Chicago police.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate case, really, from the beginning. And you could tell that police had a lot of doubts from the beginning. It became sort of unfairly publicized, not entirely due to the authorities, but Smollett did it as well. So that's all extremely unfortunate. We have a little high-profile trial here going on with Harvey Weinstein
as well.
You
do. So, yes, you do. Yeah. Wrong Man, Sunday nights, 9 o'clock stars. Looks fascinating. I thank you for your time. Congratulations on your success. All the best, okay?
Thanks so much, Bill. Take care.
Take care. On News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside John Michael from the TV side joins us. Cavs update. News about Colin Sexton. He first was left off this, this is what, the Rising Stars?
The Rising Stars, Bill. It's where the second year, they have rookies and second year players.
We are reconnected with John Michael. We're just talking about Colin Sexton in that he wasn't on the team, and I was kind of scratching my head going, well, we think he's pretty good.
Yes.
Of course, we see him. Maybe we're a little biased, but I mean, it's good to see that he gets some recognition, John.
I agree, and I think a lot of agreed with you around the league. The original omission was something that raised some eyebrows, certainly around this organization, and like I said, around the NBA, but Tyler Hero has been injured for the Heat, so Colin Sexton will replace him. I think he should have been on that original team. I mean, I think there were some things working against him. It's the way it works now, there's a U.S. team and there's a world team. The crop of U.S. first and second year players is thought to be much better than that crop of international players over the last couple of seasons, so it was more difficult to make the U.S. team. Another thing working against him is that Luka Doncic and Trae Young, who are starting in the big game, also are playing in the Rising Stars games. That took away another roster spot. That said, I thought he should have been on the original team. Now he is, and I think, you know, he's certainly happy about it. He's still going to use it as motivation, but it's good to see that he's been recognized and he's going on to represent the Cavaliers at the All-Star weekend.
John, he's still a developing player. He's scoring nearly 20 a game, but there are other areas that he needs to work on. He knows that. Thing about him, though, I think anyone have to say, even his critics, he brings it every night, doesn't he?
He's played every game, Mike. I mean, he's never missed a game in his two-year career. He's one of the hardest workers. I mean, he's always in that gym to the point where at times they've had to say, you know, Colin, rest up, man. You know, you're working so hard on your game. And, yeah, when you say, Mike, that he knows it, he does know, you know, the areas of his game in which he needs to improve. He just mentioned it the other day in terms of seeing more things out there on the floor, some of his decision-making as well. But I think everybody's getting more of a sense of what he is. I mean, he's a scoring guard. You know, this guy, I don't think at any time is going to be a traditional point guard. He's going to be a guy who goes in there and scores. You know, he's 21 years of age. The guy's scoring 20 points just about every night. I mean, he had a streak of five games where he scored 23 or more points snapped just in the Cavs' last outing. So, you know, like you said, Mike, he's there every night. He's an extremely hard worker, and I think that's what has endeared himself to this Cavs organization.
All right, John, they get the Hawks tonight. Final game before the break. John, I'm tired of talking about looking back to the last time they won a home game. It's time to win one at the Fieldhouse tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, let's get a W, Michael. I mean, I think that's the way everybody feels in terms of the players, in terms of the coaches. Obviously, you know, you want to win on your home floor. You'd love to win one before this break. I mean, 8 days where the Cavs, you know, are going to be idle before coming back with a back-to-back next Friday and next Saturday in D.C. in Miami. So it's time to get off this night, time to get a victory. Hawks are playing some pretty good basketball, though, Mike. I mean, hard to believe considering their overall record, but Atlanta started 8-32. Over their last 15, they're 7-8, you know, which is respectable for a team that has some young pieces. I mean, we all know about Trae Young. John Collins is an exceptional young player for that team. Made some trades, shaking some things up. GM Travis Lank isn't afraid to move some pieces around. they did at the trade deadline, so some new faces will be at the Fieldhouse here tonight.
All right, John, we'll get you out of here on this. As you know, Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest are coming up with a sitcom that they're going to have weekly about their work. And so Scooter had the idea of maybe pitching a sitcom about Wills and Snyder on our show here. So having said that, we did a Twitter poll at WTAM 1100. Who would play Mike Snyder? The choices are Kelsey Grammer, Larry David, or Dick Van Dyke. You want to chime in?
Or if you have a write-in, John, you feel free to do it.
You don't have to be a registered voter. You can, you can. You know.
I'm still wondering if Scooter came up with this. But
Kelsey Grammer, Dick Van Dyke, or Larry David. Or do you have somebody you want to add or vote, John? No.
No, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
I mean, that's generationally, that doesn't even work. I was always a big fan of Frasier Crane. I think Kelsey Grammer is perfect, Michael.
All right. Take that.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Snyder still wears some of those suits. I think he'd fit in just right, wouldn't he? All right, we'll put you down for Kelsey. All right.
John, your business, John.
I don't miss your time slot, but I do miss you guys.
Wait till you see next week's schedule. We may need you every morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Be nice to Dombrowski. You're going to be working, son. Thanks, John. See you, buddy.
Always good visiting, guys.
All right, pal. Be good. John Michael, Cavs Update on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Current lead in the vote is Kelsey Grammer.
Is that right?
54% of the people voting.
Kelsey.
And WTAM. Frazier. Twitter. At WTM 1100, think Kelsey Grammer would be good playing you for our sitcom idea.
Ah,
so
maybe I'll have to start taking some psychological calls here. We could do a little segment.
Maybe. Well, that's sports talk radio.
That was Scooter's idea,
yeah,
right?
Okay, all right.
This was Scooter's idea, correct?
Yeah, we're going to re-canvass the votes. Biden's not sure if he is still involved, but we